take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to pick up where we left off in our last session. 1 Corinthians 7 is in response to the Corinthians having written to Paul asking him some questions. And it deals with sex, deals with sex outside of marriage and also sex within marriage. It deals with unmarried believers. It deals with marriage and the married believers, and also how to deal with a separation if that occurs in verses 9 and 10. It deals with the mixed marriage, a marriage of a believer with an unbeliever in verses 11 through 16. And we're going to pick up the record where we left off in verse 17. It says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk." This is the theme that we will see through the rest of this chapter, dealing with the walk of a believer. As God has called every one of us, so let him walk. Walk with God. "And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being uncircumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised." I guess that's rather obvious. I'm not exactly sure how one who's been circumcised would become uncircumcised. "Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God." What is very true in the age of grace that's brought out in these church epistles is that circumcision no longer applies. Circumcision no longer has any spiritual benefit. Circumcision was given to Abraham and practiced in the patriarchal period and through the law period. It was practiced through the Gospels. But now it's been changed. It has no spiritual profit, and that certainly is very clear when you read the book of Galatians. So this brings out a truth that there are some things that extend from administration to administration to administration. Things like marriage. Marriage was instituted back in the beginning in Genesis 2. Marriage certainly was practiced patriarchal. It was formalized in the law. It continued in the gospel period and is reiterated in Ephesians 5. Marriage is a law that continues to this day. On the other hand, circumcision was something that was practiced that God has changed. It's no longer applicable. In that same category would be water baptism. There are other things like giving and receiving, the tithe, the law of believing, of course, that extend from administration to administration. But verse 20 says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." What this is talking about is that there's greater realities that come with the new birth. If you're a servant, if you're a slave, you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry about being set free because you have been set free by Christ. If you're the master of slaves, of servants, you should realize that you have been called to be Christ's servant. Isn't it wonderful? There's a greater reality. From what I understand, at this point in time and in this period where Corinthians was written, somewhere in the neighborhood of about a third of the people were indentured servants. They were slaves. Now, in our culture, we don't have that as an issue, but it would have been a big issue amongst the body of Christ. So this is being written to just keep things in perspective. You don't have to be all concerned about the lesser realities of whether you were called and at the time you were circumcised or you weren't circumcised, or when you were called by God that you were a servant or you were a master, you don't have to be concerned about that, because now there's the greater reality of what Christ has done. As verse 23 says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You know, now you have a higher calling. And the important thing is, so walk in that calling. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. We're seeing a repeated theme here. It says in verse 17, so let him walk. In verse 20, let every man abide. Here in verse 24, abide with who? God. That's the important thing. Walk with God. Live with God. Abide with God. Now, verse 25 begins a discussion of the unmarried. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Again, this is a very, very unique section of Scripture, like we saw in verses 6 through 9, where the unmarried were addressed, where Paul says, I'm speaking this by permission and not by commandment. Some people have read verse 25, or they've read verse 6 and thought that this just means that this isn't from God, that this isn't revelation, but this is just Paul's opinion. Well, I beg to differ. All Scripture God breathed. All Scripture was received by revelation. But this is in the category of the Christian family and sex. There are certain things where permission, or excuse me, when it says I speak by permission, where obedience is requested, it's recommended, but it's not required. And that should speak very loudly to us, that in some categories of human life, it isn't always cut and dry. You know, it's very interesting when you get to this field of the Christian family and sex. Most every one of us have certain things that we've experienced. We have certain things that we've practiced. And certainly not everything always lines up with God's Word. So when we come to God's Word, it's not from the standpoint of, you know, here to receive condemnation, to be flogged for all our past sins. But we do come to God's Word and let God's Word speak of what's right, of what's a standard. Even if, you know, many people have not lived up to that standard, God's Word still stands. And I know that this is a category that it's not always easy, because, you know, God's Word speaks of fornication. Well, some people have had varied sexual backgrounds where they, you know, haven't necessarily lined their lives up with the Word. The Word of God speaks about that if somebody gets separated, two believers get separated, that they should stay separated with a view towards reconciliation. Hey, the facts of the matter is that there are many Christians that have gotten divorced. Their lives haven't lined up with what the Word of God teaches. Well, it's not being shared from the standpoint of condemnation, but it is being shared from the standpoint of, look, this is what's right. This is what's best. And verse 25 is in that category of Paul speaking by permission, where obedience is recommended, where he's saying, look, this is the best, but you don't have to obey it. It's different than a commandment. Again, verse 25. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I have my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. In other words, abide in the calling wherewith you're called. Now, this again is not, this is not commanded, but it is recommended. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. We've already read in verses 6 through 9 that it's better, if possible, for a believer to stay unmarried. Why? Well, we're going to read about that in the next number of verses. Again, it's something that the Apostle Paul is recommending, but it's not commanded, so that if the single person decides to get married, you know, praise the Lord, you haven't sinned. Nevertheless, such, those that marry, shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. This word trouble means additional pressure. It comes from additional responsibility. Again, I just find 1 Corinthians chapter 7 so contrary to what maybe a lot of even instructed believers believe, where they think that every young person is supposed to get married, and then they're working hard to try to set people up and get them married, asking them questions like, who are you dating, or who are you seeing anyone, or can I help you, I'm going to introduce you to this person or that person and try to set you up. But here it says, such, those that marry, shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is what? Short. And boy, this is a great focal truth of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, why shouldn't people that are servants seek to be loosed? Why that are masters, you know, stay in that condition? Why, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, or if you're married or uncircumcised, or married or unmarried, you know, why should you stay in that condition? Why? Because the time is short. You know, our lives are short. We got to make the most of our lives. What Paul is attempting to do here, what God is doing by revelation to Paul, is to keep people unencumbered, because the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. See, again, not to be encumbered with the affairs of this life. It says in Timothy that any man that goes to war does not get entangled with the affairs of this life. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world does what? Passes away. You know, sometimes a believer can get so encumbered, can get so conformed to this world, that it really inhibits their walk with God. Well, this is reproof based on Romans doctrine. You remember Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried carries for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. See, this is that trouble, so to speak, of verse 28. The additional responsibility, the additional pressure that comes from taking a wife, from being married. So this is giving a, you know, more detailed explanation of why in verses 6 through 9, Paul recommends to the believers that they stay unmarried. Verse 33 again, he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. You know, the word virgin here means unmarried woman. It's not necessarily referring to whether she has had sex or not, but there's a difference between a wife and an unmarried woman. The unmarried woman cares for the things of who? The Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, is this section of Scripture saying that if you're married, you're tripped out? No, of course not. It is talking about additional responsibility. It is talking about additional pressure that comes with that responsibility. the overall scope of this particular chapter is what's important is walk with God, abide with God, that you care for the things of the Lord, that you be spiritually minded, that you don't get encumbered with the affairs of this life. Verse 35, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and here it is, that ye may attend upon the Lord without," what? "Distraction." There is a very clear encouragement of why an unmarried person should stay unmarried, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, if you decide to get married, praise the Lord, and there's good reasons to get married. Earlier in the chapter, it talks about if you're burning sexually, then get married. I think sometimes people, young people, people of all ages get lonely, want companionship, and there's wonderful companionship that comes from marriage. I think certainly people want to have children, and you should have children within a marriage. It's certainly, these are very good godly reasons to be married, but the case is being made here rather strongly that if you are unmarried, that you're more blessed, that you can attend upon the Lord without distraction. As I've said many times now, this is very contrary to what a lot of instructed believers have believed. I think they've ignored 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 36, "But if any man thinks that he behaves himself uncomely towards his virgin," this is talking about a father towards his daughter, "if any man, a father, thinks that he behaves himself uncomely towards his virgin, towards his daughter, if she passes the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sins not. Let them marry." Even though there's a strong encouragement for believers to stay unmarried, if a father decides that his daughter's getting older and wants her to be married, let her marry. "Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he does well." What is being laid out here was very, very contrary to their culture. But just like today, when we read the Bible, it's often very contrary to our culture. Because part of a father's responsibility back in that culture was to get his daughter married. But here there's it's saying, look, if you have your daughter get married, you haven't sinned. But if you stand steadfast in your heart to keep your daughter unmarried, you do well. "So then he that gives her in marriage does well," verse 38, "but he that gives her not in marriage does" what? "Better." And again, this is very contrary to that culture. But so oftentimes when we get in, we work God's word, we realize that the culture in which we live is ungodly. It's not right. God knows what's best. I think there was a TV show some of us old farts were growing up called Father Knows Best. It's good if, a man gets his daughter married. It's better if she doesn't marry, is what it says. Verse 39, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives." And again, this goes back to Romans doctrine. It talks about the law of marriage in Romans chapter 7. "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will." And then here's the key, "only in" what? "The Lord." Marriage is for two believers. We did see the address earlier in this chapter of a mixed marriage. And sometimes that will occur because people get into the Word get married before they get into the Word. Maybe the first one, the husband gets into the Word and the wife is still an unbeliever, or vice versa. And that was addressed earlier in this chapter. But look, for you young people, or if you're anybody who's unmarried, somebody who's widowed or any of the unmarried, this is God's word. Marry in the Lord. Boy, you know, the great key. You can go out and get married. It can be wonderful. It's not, you know, it might be better to stay single. But if you get married, marry in the Lord. Marry a believer. Those of us who have been married for a while realize that marriage is a challenge. It's not always easy. It does bring additional pressure and responsibility. Here in this chapter, it's called trouble. But, you know, when you got God and you're married to another believer, you got God's word to guide you, you can make that marriage work and make it sing and have a wonderful family. But I just, you know, it's hard enough being married to a wonderful believer. How about if you're married to an unbeliever? Just marry in the Lord, in other words. Only in the Lord. And then verse 40. But she is happier if she so abides after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. I believe Paul had the Spirit of God, don't you? An unmarried woman here is addressed as being happier, another translation, more blessed, if she so abide, if she abides being unmarried. All of this is written so that the believer can attend upon the Lord without distraction, that a believer can walk with God, that a believer can abide with God. Why? Because the times of our lives is short.